Morning. I hope that this Friday morning finds you well. We are continuing through Acts and do a little shorter section today. See how it goes. So we're in chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 20. I'm going to go ahead and read that, and then we'll discuss them a bit. It says, God was performing extraordinary miracles by Paul's hands, so that even face cloths and aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I command you, by the Jesus that Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, the Jewish high priest, were doing this. The evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded. When this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord was held in high esteem. And many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone, so that they calculated their value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. So, kind of a strange passage, right? Some different things happening. So, first of all, we see God performing miracles through Paul. And the mention of even things that he had touched seemed to have healing power. It's important to remember, just like in the... when the apostles heal, it's not their power, but it's through Jesus's power, through God's power. And here it's the same. The items don't hold any special power other than what God has given through Paul to heal. So, So it's just important to remember, you know, some traditions will still have items that have been touched by different saints or things like that as, special healing things. And good morning, Lori. But these items hold no power. It's just the power that God has given, particularly in Acts in this time, to the apostles. And in this case, the things that Paul has touched, where miracles are happening through Paul. And then we have this different, different scene with the itinerant Jewish exorcist. So, itinerant means that they're just traveling. They don't really have like a home church per se. So like an itinerant preacher would be someone who just travels the country and preaches at different churches, but may not have like his own church. There were other exorcists, so Jesus wasn't the first to drive out demons, to attempt to drive out demons. There were others who were going around doing this, likely for some sort of personal gain. The text doesn't tell us that, so that's an assumption. But more than likely they're doing it for either financial gain or, for reputation and fame. So they try to pronounce the Lord Jesus over those who have, evil spirits. Saying, I command you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. And, Luke here then, gets more specific, says these are seven sons of Sceva, who was a high priest. And, just reading a little bit about this, we don't know if he was the high priest of the, Jewish temple. There are some different ways that different people could have been referred to as a high priest, but either way, likely from Sceva and his sons are likely from a family of affluence. Possibly, you know, if there truly is a connection to the temple, well learned in the Hebrew Bible. Should probably know better. So the demon responds, and good morning, Christine. It says, I know Jesus and I recognize Paul, but who are you? So, these sons are basically trying to use the name of Jesus, trying to use God's reputation for personal gain. Excuse me. They might as well have been saying abracadabra or some other magic word. That's really what they're using this phrase as. But there's no power behind it because the authority isn't just in the name coming out of our mouth. The authority is God. So when the apostles heal and drive out demons, there's authority behind it because Jesus distinctly gave them that authority. Here, these Jewish exorcists are not followers of Jesus. They're not truly working in the name of Jesus. They're working in really their own name. And a couple things that come to mind for me then is, how do we use Jesus's name? So the first example that came to my mind is when we pray and then we say in Jesus' name. That can be, it's always a danger that prayer language just becomes routine and we're not thinking about it. And that's just a phrase that, comes out of our mouth and we don't really think about what has come before it or what the true meaning is. If we pray and we say in Jesus' name and it's just a routine, it doesn't really even really enter our mind or anything like that, then that's a misuse of that. If especially if we think there's power in it, because there's not. And then obviously if we're consciously saying it, but saying it so that our previous request will come true, that is wrong as well. The real point of that is, as we pray and once we're in Christ and the Holy Spirit is in us, we're being sanctified, which is a process where we're growing closer and closer to the heart of God, to the heart of Jesus. Romans says he's conforming us to his son. So as we do that, our prayers become less and less selfish and become more and more in line with the will of God. And some of this we are doing a series on Wednesday nights, Tony P and the Fellowship Hall is doing a series on prayer. We had our first Wednesday this week. It was great. So if you didn't make it and you can make it, we're doing four more Wednesdays. So the next four Wednesdays, it's at 7 o'clock. That would be great. Some of this overlaps. But, it's difficult to pray, your will be done, meaning God's will instead of our will be done, right? I'm getting off on a bit of a rabbit trail, but our prayer should be more and more in line with the will of God. And that is really when we say in Jesus' name, it's really two things that that represents. First of all, we can only come to God through Jesus. Jesus is the one true mediator between man and God. God being a holy God, us being fallen man, we could never come to him directly. But Jesus has given us that access where we can come to the Father through Jesus. So we are coming in Jesus' name. The other thing is, our prayers again should align with his will. So we're praying for the things that Jesus would pray for. And again, we get better and better at that as we go. So, you know, don't be discouraged if you feel like you're not there yet. Just continue to pray that God would reveal his will to you, and give you the strength, the courage, the wisdom to follow it. Because we need that. We need the help of the Spirit to do that. We can't do it on our own. So basically, just again, kind of a current example of maybe what the Jewish exorcists were doing. And certainly there are worse examples, you know, more blatant misuses of God's name, total misrepresentations. But that's just one example, I think, that is common among Christians that I wanted to bring up. The other thing is, you know, it brought to mind the commandment not to take the Lord's name in vain. And when we think of that, you know, typically we think of particular swear words, right? But it's really more than that. It is that, right? But it's more than that. So it's misrepresenting the Lord. You know, we are called to be his image bearers. We carry his name into the world. So when we misrepresent him, when we use his name either flippantly or selfishly, we're taking his name in vain. So just another thing to think about. You know, there are the obvious things. You know, you hit your thumb with a hammer and yell out the name of Jesus or something worse. That's bad. But, you know, also how we carry that name, how we represent it, how we use it. It should always be used in reverence. So going back to the story, the exorcist tried to use Jesus to drive out this demon. And the demon is basically like, you have no power over me. You know, it was pretty foolish of these exorcists to approach the demon and try to drive him out. And we see that the man overpowers them. So remember, there were 7 of them. And the demon overpowers all of them so that they run out of the house naked and wounded. So, you know, if you're a boxing fan, or UFC, you know, some matches are decided by knockout, some by decision. There's no decision here, man. You leave the fight naked. You lost, period. There's no question at all. So, I don't know if Luke intended a little humor here, but it is kind of funny, just to picture these guys, you know, not funny that the demon prevailed, but funny that they foolishly tried this and paid the price. So, but the great thing is, as we finish the story, in verse 17, it says, when this became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, they became afraid, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high esteem. Again, everyone in Ephesus is probably a bit of a hyperbole, a bit of an exaggeration, but... maybe more showing that it encompassed both Jews and Greeks. So it wasn't limited to one ethnicity or religion. But you know, what these fools meant for their personal gain and for, you know, they meant to use the name of Jesus, it actually works out as a benefit for the kingdom, and Jesus's name is held on high. So again, that tells us that, you know, just like Joseph told his brothers what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God can use everything and anything, and sometimes it's even the disrespect or the misuse or whatever it might be. He can still use that for his good. Doesn't mean it's good that it was done. Does it mean that the sons of Sceva wouldn't, you know, if we sin, we don't face judgment? But it does mean that, again, even in our mistakes, in our sin and our folly, God can use those things for good. And frankly, even in the world's sin and folly, God can use those things. And you know, we don't see that a lot at the time. And sometimes we don't see it later. Sometimes, you know, some things we won't see until, you know, we're glorified and we reach heaven. But God can use everything, and this is an example. So just the last three verses are kind of a summary statement, like often happen in these stories and Acts. It says, and many who had become believers came confessing and disclosing their practices, while many of those who had practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone. So they calculated the value and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. In this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. So magic and spells and things like that were pretty prominent in this time. And here, it seems like in this town. So not only is the Lord, the name of Jesus, held on high, but there's a almost like a revival in the town. All these people come and basically repent and burn their books and their, you know, the value. There are a lot of crazy estimates out there. Some say it's like $6 million in like today's money, things like that. But I think regardless of exactly what it was, it's a large amount. So there's like a sacrifice here of these people burning them. It says, in this way, the word of the Lord flourished and prevailed. So, you know, again, darkness doesn't overcome light. And this is just a great little story that just shows us that, you know, a couple things. Again, how we use the name of Jesus, how we use the name of God, how we represent him as his image bearers, all matter. And, you know, we can consciously or subconsciously use God to advance our kingdom instead of his. And that's always a danger. You know, the other thing is, again, no matter how evil something looks, no matter how bleak it looks, God can use that for his good. I would even argue that he does use all of it for his good. We may not see it. It might be one person or many. But he's continuing to work. He is sovereign in everything. He is in control. You know, we look at things from such a limited lens. Time, you know, space, where we're at, what we can physically see, what our minds can comprehend. But God knows the beginning and the end of every single action that is taken. He knows perfectly what is happening, how and when to use it. And we can really rest in that, regardless of what's going on in the world, no matter how, you know, the wars in Israel and Ukraine, as terrible as they are, and no matter what, you know, what you feel about them, God in some way is using those for good. Your personal tragedy, whatever it might be, no matter how difficult it is, God is using it for good in some way. So that's something that we can hold on to. So I hope this was, you know, as always, edifying and helpful. Hope you all have a great weekend. We're celebrating two baptisms at Mosaic this weekend, one in each service. So I hope you can come out and celebrate two folks making public declaration of their faith, and So we hope you can come out for that. Cheer on the Browns at 4:30 on Saturday, making a rare playoff appearance. Cheer on the Bills for Pingitore. I believe they play on Sunday. But anyway, we will see you next week. Hopefully we'll see you on Sunday. Love y'all.